Hello there, gorgeous souls. Welcome to another episode of the Success Revolution podcast. You're here with Gemma Bernad, the host. I have another gorgeous conversation with an incredible soul, a 3-5 emotional manifester. Stella Grace is so grounded in the essence of feminine embodied business. She is an absolute channel, a lighthouse, a powerhouse. She has taught me so much about feminine energetics and embodied business, which includes both space for masculine and feminine energies, but also including the body in our business and what that feels like, what the experience of that is. Now, one of the reasons I invited Stella on is because she is someone who lives and breathes what she talks about. That is going to make this episode so powerful. Here's why. She is not here just talking about concepts. This is the essence and energy of who she is at the core, which means that you will be able to feel, sense, and experience what she is talking about by listening to her voice just as much as the words that she speaks. She is someone that you will absolutely experience her and feel yourself change at an energetic level just by listening to what she says. To be honest with you, regardless of even if your logical mind fully comprehends what she talks about, you will feel the shift within you when she talks about healing, femininity, so feminine energetics, embodied business, masculine energy. We have a very diverse and broad conversation about what it truly means to invite your body to have a very significant role in your business. This is a very broad and expansive conversation, and I encourage you to not just listen to this once, listen to this multiple times. Listen to it while you're out walking. Listen to it in meditation. Listen to it at bed night before you go to sleep. Listen to this and let her words infiltrate your energetic field. Let her frequency speak to you. And I promise you're going to feel the richness and deliciousness of everything that we talk about. I love these episodes. Like, I'm a very practical person. There's no doubt about that. But I'm also, you know, the channel in me, the psychic in me, the energetic healer in me just devours these type of conversations because I feel the change that happens while I'm having them. And I was just listening to little snippets of it back now before I recorded this intro and just was immediately taken back into the vortex of the sacredness of the conversation that we had when we had it. So enjoy this conversation. As I said, we go broad, we go wide. It's a very expansive conversation about what it really means to run an embodied business. Not just a concept, not just a catchy phrase, but the truth of this through the lens of someone who has been living and breathing this for a long time. I know you're going to want to connect with Stella after you listen to this episode. I will drop all the links for her socials so you can go into her world and take a deep dive and just experience the deliciousness that she is. So enjoy, and I'll see you for an episode really soon. Welcome to the Success Revolution podcast with Gemma Bernad. Hello, beautiful souls, welcome back to another episode of the Success Revolution podcast. I am joined by an incredible guest today. I'm so honored to have her on with me, Stella Grace. Welcome to the Success Revolution podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor to be here with you.
I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time. We've had a couple of reschedules. The timing is always divine and perfect. And I'm really excited to introduce you to the women in my world. And I know that just listening to this episode today is going to create some incredible transformations and shifts, because the truth is, just listening to you really has the ability to do that. So if you could just introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about your work and what it is that you do.
Thank you so much. I am a devotional business oracle and divine feminine ascension channel for mm-hmm. 6 and 7 figure mission souls. My work is rooted in this concept of putting the body before the business. So I love it that this is the topic for this series that you're doing, because this is work I've been doing for years, putting the body before the business, embodied business. It's truly the foundation of my work. And there's a reason for that. So I've been dealing with a lot as I've been birthing and growing and stabilizing and scaling my business. I've been moving through some of the hardest, darkest times of my life, from really painful health issues, healing complex PTSD, recovering from severe narcissistic abuse. I was so fragile and tender in ways that you know, if you're not going through this, right? Very few people really understand this unless they're walking this, unless they've experienced this. And I felt really out of place in this industry. I had so much wisdom and so my medicine is potent and deep and delicious, that I was getting a little lost in the sauce of the industry. And it was kind of like spinning me around, as I know you understand.
Yes.
And I just couldn't get on board. It was like impossible for me to do business the way that all the, you know, the gurus in the industry and all the, you know, celebrity coaches that everybody's all about. It was impossible for me to show up that way and to do business that way. I had to put my body first. And so I started talking about this concept several years ago, like the body before the business, because the body and the business, what spirit showed me was that the body and the business are two sides of the same coin. And when we can truly look through that lens at our business and our body, our life's work, our, you know, the practical and the mystical side of our work and our mission and our business, and really seeing it as a portal, seeing the business as an activation portal, as a ascension, like an actual ascension portal, as a vehicle in service to your ascension, your business, if you can see it through that lens. And it's like what I was shown was like, if you prioritize your ascension, which through the lens of divine feminine, through the lens of the divine feminine, ascension is a conscious descent, right? It's not up and out, it's deeper in. You know, ascension is a conscious descent deeper into the body and closer to the earth. And so I had no choice but to deepen into my body, because my body was suffering. And there were days where I couldn't get off the couch. That went on for sometimes several months, up to a year at different points, where I couldn't function really well. My sleep was very much disrupted. My sleep patterns were just all over the place. I was, you know, falling asleep at 6 p.m., waking up at midnight, and then being up all night. Like, it was just wild. And so during that time, I was downloading a lot. I was receiving a lot of information about my mission. And there were times where all I could do was write. you know, showing up on Facebook Lives. Remember when the 365 daily Facebook Lives? I was like, I tried that for like 4 days, and then I was like,
So did I.
I was like, this is it. I'm gonna do it. And then like day four, I was like, no way. No, I can't do anything every day. First of all, I'm so in tune with my body and what my body wants. I'm so deeply like in a devotional relationship with the divine. And so what I'm guided to do daily, I trust that. And it's always different, but it's always divine. Right.
Yes.
And so for me, it was just absolutely impossible for me to show up to run my business. Everybody was saying, you know, live streams every day. And when you run your Zoom calls, you need to show up looking like a total boss, like, you know, sophistication and like wearing all the things, like really presenting yourself in this way. And I'm like, I'm an incredibly sophisticated, elegant woman, but I'm on the couch in physical pain that there's no way that I can get up and do my makeup because I'm not going to show up for, it's not my style to show up all disheveled, right? It's just not my, when people do that, I don't judge that, but that's not my vibe. If I'm going to show up in video, I'm going to be put together. So for the most part, that's just my standard for myself. And so I was like, that's not going to work for me. And I had to find a way to bring my message, my medicine to the world without feeling like something was wrong with me. Like, why can't I be like all the other girls? Right. Like that sisterhood wound, that inner child wound around a lot of rejection in childhood. And, you know, I moved around a lot. And so I was just kind of used to being the odd one out because I was always moving. And so I was just like, what if there's this whole other way to do this? And I believe that by trusting that and being a voice and holding that position in the online space and being willing to go first, right? I'm not saying I'm the only one or I was the first one, but this was several years ago that I started talking about this and owning this because I had to. And I love seeing women step up all over the place and speaking to this because it's so important because women are breaking down. Some of the highest level leaders in the online space are not being honest about what's really going on with them. I can feel it. I can see it. They are breaking down at the level of the body. And when we do not put the body first, like we're using our business. It's another addiction, another way to avoid the body. And so as a sacred feminine embodiment coach, mentor, you know, this is work I've been doing for years before I even stepped into the online space. So the body has always been important. It's always been, you know, the foundation of my work. However, it has taken on a whole new energy when I stepped into more of a leadership role.
And, you know, you are unequivocally so deeply embodied in this work as well. And I think that is one of the rarities of you and your work is it is truly on another level. I mean, I think what I really notice and observe is that I can truly listen to you talk and feel the energy of everything that you're saying because you are so deeply embodied in this. And so it was just such a pull for me to have you on and have this conversation because I knew talking about body before business, people would feel that from you like nobody else. And that's, I think, what people need more than anything. We need leaders who aren't just talking the talk, that they're really living and breathing this to the depths of their soul and willing to continue to go deeper, as you say, as well. And I love so much about how you talk about the business really being a portal for ascension. But really this aspect of ascension is a deepening down into the body. I think that's the piece that really, when you spoke of that, really, I just felt my whole body reverberate and really resonate so deeply with what you said there, knowing that that is truth. And I love that because I think we get so confused with expansion. I think the word expansion and ascension for so many of us, we think that means bigger. That means, you know, exactly what we think of that word when we think of expansion. But this concept of deepening, tell me more about, like, tell me more about what's coming through you when you talk about deepening.
Yes, absolutely. Deepening into the body. It's that, it's a conscious descent, right? So it's bringing all of your, this is like when we call all of our power back, you know, we're calling it, we're calling it back in from all the places that we, where it's been unconsciously given away or taken by force. And so all these different ways that our power has been, you know, siphoned or disrupted, right? We become, these are the areas where we are somewhat fragmented, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's really and truly my work at, if we were really to distill it down, it is a shamanic soul retrieval.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bringing all these aspects of the self that have been disrupted or deeply hurt, traumatized, wounded, any ways that you've been violated or felt rejected or misunderstood, right? A deep, deep, like just there's so much that the human has gone through. And we are conditioned in our culture to live in the mind, right? Everything's happening in the mind.
Yes.
And that is keeping us out of our body. You know, like women are intellectualizing the conversation of embodiment. It's an embodied experience that cannot actually happen anywhere near the mind. And so a lot of people love talking about it and they have no idea what they're talking about because it's just words, right? Everywhere you look online, and I am not judging. I get it. I totally get it. I once lived in my mind and I once believed that I understood a whole lot of shit that I didn't understand. And it is, I heard this quote somewhere years ago when back in the day when I was on the couch, could barely get off the couch. I was in so much pain. Came across this quote. I have no idea who said it, but he said, "Knowing and not doing is not knowing." And it changed the game for me. Like one sentence turned my whole world around. You know, when you're telling somebody a story, whether it's a client, a friend, a parent, and like, oh, I know, right? Oh, I know. I read that book too, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you actually don't know. Because if you did know, you wouldn't have done that thing you just did. You wouldn't have said that thing. No, you don't. You have a lot of information that you're hoarding, that you collected, but it has not become embodied wisdom. And that I'm seeing all over the internet, and it's truly breaking my heart because so many women are like these brilliant women that have so much medicine in them, so much magic in them. Women, the feminine was conditioned to not feel like who she is. It is enough, right? To believe that she has to be something or someone else to be valuable, to be desired, that the exact thing that she is. So she's conditioned to overlook her own magic, right? Her own, what makes her so special and so unique. Every woman has been conditioned since they were little girls to actually not see the value in that. And then to constantly look outside of themselves and be like, oh, well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Well, I should be like her. I'm not pretty enough. I've got curly hair. I want straight hair. I've got green eyes. I want brown eyes. Like it's got it. It's everything outside of us is what's going to make us fantastic, extraordinary, spectacular women. That's what we are conditioned to believe. So it's no surprise to me that we have an entire population, an entire generation, and an entire industry, pretty much, of women that are actually teaching about things they're not embodied in and hoarding, keeping to themselves the thing that actually could really bring a lot of beautiful change to the industry, a lot of deep healing to other people's lives. They are like actually withholding that, the thing that is the most magical, the thing that they're actually masterful in, that they've mastered or at least are embodying. And they're pushing that to the side, not seeing the value, and then reaching for all these other things and having all these conversations through the mind. And so this is a fully loaded question you asked me, but I'm coming back full circle. So just
no, it's me. You know, it's perfection.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, beautiful. But yes, so it's like coming back to the deepening. So it's a retrieval of the self, of the soul. It's saying, I am done with that, right? I'm done with that program. I'm no longer available for this conditioning. I'm not willing to host this shame and this fear, right? So it's taking full responsibility for what you are subscribing to, what you are, the level of consciousness that you are allowing in your physical vessel. And completely like unhooking, actually unhooking from the matrix and saying, no. So how do I know that my conditioning is in the driver's seat? It's when I'm suffering.
Yeah.
Right. My conditioning is in the driver's seat. It's driving my decision-making. It's when I'm suffering. I'm feeling shame. I'm feeling fear. I'm feeling frustration. That's when I'm out of alignment. And so my job is to come back and to say, no, go deeper within that deepening into the body and see, I really believe that the mission is stored in the womb, right? And when we're ready to descend, like your true soul's mission, your life's work, not just, oh, I'm a life coach, or I'm a leadership coach, or I'm a business coach, or I'm a money coach, or a manifest, right? It's there's something deeper that only you can do. And that is your soul's mission. And that is, I believe, stored on a frequency level in the womb space. And so the deeper that you descend into self, that deepening into your body, that dropping back down, surrendering the mind and saying, no, no, you are not my master. You are here to co-create with me, but you are not the boss. Putting the mind in its place, putting the ego in its place, putting the inner child in her place. Everyone needs to be put in their place so that you can drop your consciousness safely and effectively down, reclaiming all aspects of the self that have been split off through conditioning and trauma, calling it all back, pulling it all in, dropping it all down, falling batshit crazy in love with your body and your breath and the moment, right? Stepping into a devotional relationship with the present moment, getting out of the mind. Everything is now. Everything is here. Your power is right here in this moment. Even thinking about your power in the future is taking you out of alignment because it's all right now. And that's the deepening, the descent into the body, into the self, closer to the earth, directly into the moment. That's where all the magic is happening.
Stella, this is the work of a lifetime.
Yes.
Isn't it? I mean, what you're touching on is, I mean, my heart is literally wanting to jump out of my body at the moment. I mean, what you're saying is, we talk about, you know, our missions in business and all of those things, and that's all beautiful and there's a place for all of that. But as you say, it's about dropping and descending down into the depths to really understand our soul's mission. And what place does that have in our business? I mean, this is really all just coming to me as you're speaking. I think we spend so much of our energy trying to seek clarity around our business mission. And I don't believe we are giving anywhere near enough time or enough focus or enough priority to that particular aspect of the soul's mission. And yes, and how the business feeds into that, of course, but I mean, that is just the work of a lifetime. It really is.
Oh, yes, absolutely it is. And I really believe the business is the container yes. for the mission.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just think, you know, as I'm really, because I'm moving through, I know you talked about before we hit record, you're sort of moving through and up-leveling a lot at the moment. I am as well. And I know a lot of women that I've been speaking to in my community are going through that, whether they're feeling some level of discomfort or resistance or the fear or whatever it is, like there is a huge shedding. I believe there's a huge collective shedding that is going on. I've been saying that to my community for the last couple of months, that this end of this year, there is just a huge shedding that's going on. And I think as that we are shedding and we are coming into another rebirth phase, that question needs to be, that focus, that question needs to take priority. It really needs to be a huge piece, because without that, I mean, that's almost like the turbine, isn't it, for the business? I mean, it's the fuel that's there, because otherwise business just feels vacuous. It just feels Absolutely. Vacuous without that. It just feels vacuous. We get into this whole space of becoming so, in so many ways, and, you know, no judgment or shame, I'm saying this from personal experience, but it's like very, you know, selfish aspect with business, where we're making it so much more about us at a very superficial level, like the whole paradigm of more, 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 like give me more clients, more money, more expansion, more growth, bigger, bigger, bigger. But none of us are doing that through the lens of what is truly here for our soul to be focusing on. I think without that filter, without that piece, you know, where's the North Star?
Oh, exactly. Oh, I'm like covered in chills. This is such a delicious conversation already. Like, wow. It is, yeah. It's the ascension piece and the embodiment piece. And this is the foundation. And this is not just the foundation. This is the container. And for the feminine, right? For a woman to truly be able to drop into and lean back into, right? Everyone's always talking about lean back, but like, what does that mean, right?
Yes.
You can't lean back. You cannot lean back if there's no trust, right? If you don't trust yourself, if you don't trust your business, if you don't trust spirit or a higher power to hold you, you don't trust the masculine within you or the masculine around you, the masculine aspect of the divine, you will not be able to lean back.
No, not at all.
It's physically impossible. And so yes. that work has to come first. So a lot of people, what I yes. see happening, a lot of steps, very important steps are being missed. And the sacredness of our mission and of our, the whole reason that we're here, right? Is being this paradigm of business that everyone's selling as feminine business. It's actually not. They're selling masculine methodologies through the lens of feminine embodiment, through the lens of feminine principles, like, or not through yes. the lens of, but they're calling it that. Right? They're yes. calling it a feminine
Absolutely.
Principle, actually a masculine methodology. And then highly feminine women, all women are, you know, truly suffering, I believe, in this industry, but really highly feminine women. You know, there's a difference, because some women really do like thrive in their masculine. And that's okay. But there has to be some kind of a balance, or else there will be burnout regardless.
Yeah.
But the highly feminine women, they require so much space. They require so much like rest and being able to, you cannot rest if you do not trust. Because laying on the couch watching Netflix for 7 hours is not resting if you are not in full trust that you're safe, that your money is safe, that your business is safe, that that God's got you and that you get to actually unplug from social media and from talking with clients and just really go deeply within and lean all the way back. You can't lean all the way back if you're terrified that everything's going to fall apart, right? If you're not controlling it. So that deep trust, that work around the divine union that I talk about all the time, divine union in the body and in the business. It's the sacred marriage of Shakti and Shiva, the feminine and the masculine, right? Within. And it's understanding that, yes, I get to have these having this structure in place is essential in order for me to be able to create and to flow and to lean back. I need to feel the presence of that structure, and knowing that I'm not going to become this flood. Okay. So that's where the feminine, this is like bringing Shakti and Shiva into it. Okay. A lot of people don't even understand what feminine and masculine energetics are. Everybody's talking about it, but so few people actually understand what this stuff means.
Yes.
So when we're talking about the importance of that divine union in the body and in the business, this is how I love to explain this. Very simple. Okay. The masculine is the riverbank, and the feminine, right? Shakti is the river. So if we have a beautiful village and a river running through that village, without Shiva, without the riverbank, the river becomes a flood. No longer is that river a gift to the village, to the people of the village. It is a natural disaster, right? The feminine, when she doesn't have the container, the sacred masculine frame holding her, she becomes a natural disaster, a hurricane, a tornado, a ferocious, right? The ferocious feminine. That's when like the dark mother comes in like, rah, like Kali. There's so many aspects of the dark feminine. That's a whole other conversation, but it's not, it's the feminine requires that container or she becomes a flood. And so, and then vice versa.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The masculine, if we have all structure, when we're all structure, all strategy, all systems, you know, working these masculine methodologies, but through like, you know, wearing our little pink dresses and sipping our champagne, that's not going to work either. Why? Because the Shiva, the riverbank, without the waters, without the river, is just a big hole in the earth. Right? So we have to have that balance, and we've got to learn, what does this masculine mean? What does it mean for me to be in right relationship with the masculine within me? And knowing that there is a time and a place, like my masculine had to step it up this past summer and basically build the temple, build the empire. He was busy. He was like, I mean, I kind of wore myself out for the, not in a way that I have, it wasn't like wearing myself out, but I definitely had to go more than I would have liked to. Right. There was a lot of output of energy that took me out of my comfort zone because it was time to build. And I had to instead of going, oh no, this is right, because this is sending me into like too much. Right. So a lot of women, they also don't like getting taken out of their feminine. They just want to do what feels good. Well, it's highly likely that you're not going to scale if that's all you want to do, because you've got to learn how to play with your edge and initiating your inner king to step up and to build that empire, to build that, you want to up level into a new home. He builds it. He builds the new frame that is big enough to hold the next level that your feminine is desiring to create. You're feminine. When it's time to create something new, you feel it like just coming up from your womb space. It's that like, she starts roaring if you don't listen. It's time to build something new. And she's speaking to the masculine within you. She's saying, step it up. I need you to build the new container. And if you don't know how to have that conversation, let alone the relationship, there needs to be a healthy communication between these aspects within the self. And then there needs to be a beautiful, harmonious relationship. And we've got to learn how to get a little uncomfortable to create the space that's big enough to hold the next level that we're about to birth.
It's one of the reasons I love your work so much is that you have such deep respect, reverence, and love for the masculine as well. And I think that this is the pattern that I see with so many women who have been in that very murky sort of mass, like that very, you know, disembodied masculine energy before, where it's just been force and push constantly, and they have ended up burnt out. And so, you know, they've cottoned on to, oh, I've got to be more in my feminine. And the pendulum has swung so far in the other way. And rightly so, there's recovery has been needed. So it's not, there's no judgment of that. Like I really feel for so many of us that have been in that space that we've had to let the pendulum swing so far in the other direction to rest and to be able to let our bodies recover. But then there has to be a correction. There has to be a harmony that is found. And I completely relate. I'm going through a stage right now where I am having to be very much in the edge and really like meeting and going and pushing through that edge in the masculine and really build a lot of structures and a lot of systems right now. And it is uncomfortable. And, you know, it's not really a place that I want to hang out. And I am, you know, there's a lot of output that's going on, but as you say, it's not bad. It's not wrong. It's just a necessary part. It's all the ebb and the flow. I think even this conversation around harmony, you know, or even the word balance, I think a lot of people take away a very misguided perception and understanding of what balance means. You know, there's times where we have to be more in our masculine to get things done because that's what our feminine requires. And then there are times and periods where we can lean all the way back, but we can only do that if we've got the masculine there. As you say, both play such an integral and important and beautiful role. Both are important. Both are valuable. Absolutely. Both are necessary. Both are beautiful. You know, I think that is the dance that so many women are trying to find the steps to right now, is that harmony and letting themselves ebb and flow and move between both of those as they need to in their days, in their weeks, in their years, whatever that looks like. But the right relationship with the masculine, can we talk about this, please? Because this is so like everyone talks about, you know, having a strong relationship with your feminine, but honestly, coming into right relationship with the masculine, I cannot tell you. I mean, so much of my work, my own personal work, has been healing a lot of those wounds. And so many women come to me and it's the same thing. It's this very, let's just use the word unhealthy, for better use of the word, unhealthy relationship with the masculine. Can please talk about this, because I really feel like this is such an important part of it.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure. That is one of my favorite conversations to have. It's so important. It's so important. And, you know, if we didn't have a healthy masculine or healthy feminine role models, you know, in our culture, in our families, throughout our relationships, it's all connected, right? Mm-hmm. And so as we step into leadership, as we step into business, as we step into our creativity and our expression and our feminine and our, you know, it's of course, it's so feeling pulled to the feminine as women. Of course, we're going to be more, it's a more natural space for us to feel that attraction into. It's like, it's just been so, the conversation was once very taboo. So we are on the leading edge, right? This is a very revolutionary conversation. It's a very new conversation mm-hmm. because up until very recently, the world was not ready for it, right? Mm,
true.
The world was very not true. Ready for it. And so, so how I feel about the masculine these days, it's just, wow, you know, at first I had to heal my relationship with my own inner masculine and how I came into that deep understanding, like how I came to know what this actually even meant. It was a journey around divine union. It was the discovery of divine union and understanding on a deep cellular level, like even when my mind, my intellectual, like I could not completely understand it in my mind, but like my body remembered those codes, that ancient alchemy of the masculine and the feminine working together in perfect harmony to create. Think about it. It's like, yes, the feminine is the creatrix, right? She births, but together they are creation. Because the seed is planted by the masculine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. And the house is built, right? Let's think about even just in ancient times. It's like, right? The masculine, the warriors of the tribes were going and hunting and gathering and clearing the land and building the homes and building the, you know, and keeping everyone safe. And so that the feminine could do her job. Now, when we embody divine union, what that means is the riverbank and the river become activated within you. You are the river and you are equally the riverbank.
Mm.
And what happens there is you become whole. And so when you are actually in relationship with men, when you, whether it's a coach, a client, your partner, one of your siblings, parents, children, we can actually hold space for the masculine and the feminine. We can be in relationship with men and women in a very different way when we have become whole within.
Mm.
Because we are so rooted, we are so clear. And without people, they don't even understand. It's happening on a very, on a frequency level. People can just feel there's something, they feel safe with you because mm-hmm. you're not unconsciously seeking to be filled by anyone because you've got you. Your inner king and your inner queen, Shakti and Shiva, the river and the river bank, fully, fully activated. There's no need. You're not reaching outside of yourself for anything. You've got you. And when you've got you, you become a very safe space for others. So nothing will take your business, in my humble opinion, to the next level of earning, impact, income, receiving, right? Quite like embodying divine union and healing your relationship with the masculine and the feminine within and without, healing the sisterhood wounds, healing the father wound, the mother wound, the witch wound. All these wounds actually are held hostage in the womb space with the mission. They're all in there together, waiting for your descent, conscious descent in, deep in. And that's why this whole hustling, like sell, 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 hustle, 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 hit the $1 million year than the $1 million month. It's like every year there's a new trend that everybody's trying to hit. But what if the mission and all the wounds that are holding the mission hostage? So like the deep, deep witch wound is like your actual mission is being held captive behind that wound. That wound is like the gatekeeper. All of those wounds are the gatekeeper to your mission, to that money that you desire. And so that's where it's at. That's where I really truly believe that the embodied business, the conversation of embodied business That's when that's what it's about. It's not a trendy like buzzword, right? I birthed a program, a body of work called the School of Embodied Business close to 3 years ago. And I'm about to launch my membership that I've been, sitting like going back and forth and back and forth for years. And just like you were saying earlier, the mission, the medicine, our life's work, it needs to develop. It's like taking the cake out of the oven before it's ready. You've got a runny, icky, sticky cake, right? It's like we want that, the mission, you'll know when you're ready. And so had I tried to birth my membership even just a few months ago, which I've tried multiple times, and then I feel in my body, nope, it's not time. That's not it. I keep thinking, okay, I've got it. I've got the concept. I know it. And then it's like, nope, that's not it. And I keep pulling things. This year was about refinement and deep clarity for a lot of us.
Yes.
And so coming into right relationship with the masculine and the feminine within me and really, really taking this work very seriously, I could not put something out that had that, a membership is a commitment. It's not a 3 month mastermind or a 6 week group coaching program. That's like, you're saying yes to like a few years at least of being in it with this concept or this body of work or this, this part of the mission. And in my opinion, I think that those are the most incredible containers.
Yes.
When
I
it's
agree.
Something that, when you can just, it's like, this is fully aligned with this person's life's work. Like you can feel it. And I didn't want to just put something out just to have a membership. So this body of work around the School of Embodied Business, now the little mini version of that is the Embodied Business Boutique that I'm actually launching this week. And I'm really excited.
Exciting.
And so this is where I'm going to be teaching about all of this. I'm bringing all this medicine forward and opening up this container to the masculine. I've opened up my entire coaching business to the masculine and taking on clients that are really high level industry leaders and global leaders and CEOs. I'm ready because I've done so much healing myself of coming into right relationship with the masculine within me. And then what came after that was healing my relationship with my father. It was healing the relationship within, the masculine within, then the masculine aspect of the divine, then my father. That's the correct order. And then with men in general, right? The men, right? And it was a very sacred process. And I've taken it very seriously, and it's a very devotional path for me. And so I was shown a while ago, like, you're going to be working with the masculine. And I was like, really? Like, I've had clients hire me to work with their husbands, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that this was all coming. But when it really got juicy and beautiful, and when it became even more sacred, was when I realized that all the money work that I was doing, heal your relationship. Like years ago, my money medicine program that I launched 3 years ago, and I've been launching multiple times since then, was rooted in healing your relationship with the masculine in order to be able to receive more money, right? And then one day it just hit me. What if you just heal your relationship with the masculine to become a safer space for the masculine? Instead of it's like to get more money.
I know. And I read that. I've got your Facebook up in front of me right now. It's the exact post that I'm looking at right now. When healing my relationship with the masculine was no longer just about healing my relationship with money, I became a safe space for the masculine to heal and evolve. And that really spoke to me. Like that just that line really spoke to me on such a deep, on such a deep level. It makes me feel emotional too, as well, because, just even when I think about my relationship with my husband as well, and I think we so, and I, Like, I know that you said that, you know, embodied business is not a trend, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, but I do believe it has been, some people, it's been, a lot of this has been commercialized. And I think we have healing the relationship with the masculine, I think we have commercialized that as well in many ways. And I have no, I'm not, there's no judgment of anyone around that. It's just an observation that is coming to me as we speak, because we have, we go in and enter into this relationship, enter into this situation, experience to heal the masculine because we think we're going to get something. So, oh, I'm going to heal my relationship with the masculine so I can make more money in my business. And whilst that can be a beautiful byproduct of it, of that work, what if, is as you say, we just heal the relationship with the masculine so that we become a safe space for the masculine? What I just feel like that is such a, like, that to me, like, my body, like, it makes me feel very emotional too, as well. Like, I just feel like it's just such a different, it's actually such a liberating way. And I think that's because there's no agenda with it, you know? And I think we've, as you say, it's such a devotional path. This isn't, I don't like the, I know the work you do, and it is not something I believe that, You will enter into the level of work that you do thinking, oh, I'm going to heal my relationship with the masculine so I can make more money. But boy, oh boy, like that's not even the surface. Like it's so, you're right. It has to be. And I think that's why I love so much of what you said about, you know, business being a portal for ascension and ascension being about, you know, conscious deepening. As well. And I just think that I am all about helping women stopping the chase of the very superficial aspects of business. It's not, and that's not to say that they don't eventuate and they don't happen and we don't receive more money and, you know, that we don't get to help more people. And all of those things are very beautiful, but it's the intentional focus on chasing those that I want to help women shift. And I think that you have really just opened up that invitation for women to know where to shift their attention to. Because it's like, well, if I'm not chasing money and I'm not chasing more, well, then what am I actually doing in business? And I so deeply resonate with business being that portal for ascension, that that's what it's about. It is about becoming a safe space within yourself. It is about healing the masculine for the sake of healing the masculine. It is about coming into right relationship with divine union for the sake of coming into right relationship with divine and union, because of the way that it makes us feel and live and breathe and experience and create and do and all of those things. And I just, that to me is such a liberating way of living, instead of I'm going to heal this wound so that I can make more money, or I'm going to come into right relationship with masculine so that I can, you know, sell this offer or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just breath of fresh air. It's a breath of fresh air in this space to be able to know that this gets to be how we do all of our work and breathe life into our business, and experience the fullness of what business really is all about, which, as you say, a very sacred container for the expression of our soul mission, and the evolution of ourselves and the collective as well.
Absolutely. We are speaking the same language. I love it. I could just listen to you. I could just listen to you speak about this for hours. I'm like, yes. Like, It's so rare to come across another woman in the online space that really gets it. Mm. And I believe that there, you know, there's a lot of women doing a lot of beautiful work out there. It's just time to rise. Yeah. It's time to evolve now. And I feel very much so a deep responsibility around stepping it up even more around my own leadership and really bringing women and men, inviting them into a deeper experience. So for me, embodied business is about coming into right relationship with the body and the business.
Yes.
Coming into right relationship with the feminine and the masculine. Coming into right relationship with the earth, right? With Mama Earth, Mama Gaia.
Yes.
Like, what are we doing if we are not in right relationship with that which sustains us, with that which holds us, that which breathes life into us so that we can breathe life into our mission? It's about being in right relationship. And that's why, you know, for many years, you know how it is with your bio. You're like, 100 character bio. What am I going to call myself? Right? And yes. So when Spirit showed me, you're not just a business oracle, you're a divine, like a devotional business oracle for mission souls, right? For mission souls. If you're not on a mission, my work is probably going to boggle your brain. Like my work is probably going to turn you upside down and inside out and maybe just be a little too much, right? Mm-hmm. Mission souls, they just feel it, that my work is where they need to go next. They just feel it. They're like, because it's that big and that powerful, and I'm here to hold space for these huge missions. And so that the woman behind the mission, the man behind the mission, the leader, so that they can lead their mission without collapsing, without sacrificing their sanity or their sensuality or the spaciousness that they require to be in right relationship with their body. And it's just so beautiful. And it's not that I when I said the embodied business not being a trend, what I meant was, although it has become a very trendy word, and it is being bastardized, right?
Yeah, like, it is. Yeah,
it just like everything. But I will not stop my mission just because something has become mainstream, because that happens to me all the time. You know how it is. You know, when you are a visionary, it's not about feeling ownership over anything, because we are channels. We are channeling divinity. We are channeling source. So I don't own any of this. But when we bring something through and that really we're not seeing anywhere, and then within 6 to 12 months we see it everywhere, I can't tell you how many times that almost like put me down. That almost made me not want to do my work because I got so discouraged and upset. Have you felt that before? Like when you see something and you're like, oh, wait, that's not. And it feels almost like your life's work is now all over the place. But these people are misrepresenting it. And then you don't want to be associated with that. And then you kind of question your own path.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
that's been a huge piece for me over the last 12 months in many ways.
Yes,
it is, because it's there is a piece, and a lot of the things that I am so deeply passionate about talking about and sharing and teaching, and you know, it is a lot of very mainstream information as well. And it's very hard to, for me anyway, in the space that I want to play, to kind of make peace with that a lot of the time too. So, but as you say, like the only thing that keeps me, you know, really on my path is the soul's mission. That's the only thing. I have to keep coming back to that piece again and again, and just staying true to what it is, the work that I'm here to do, and just honoring that every single day. And sometimes, to be honest, it's really fucking hard. That's the truth.
Absolutely.
It is really fucking hard to continue to stay on your path and to stay, you know, devoted to the work. My devotion doesn't waver, but there are times where it feels very challenging. There is no doubt.
Yes. And that's the devotional business piece, right? That's when I was shown in meditation one day that this was about devotional business, and that I can only support mission souls that understand that their business is like a devotional journey that they're on. Like their relationship with their, otherwise it's just not going to work. The connection, right, with my clients, they've got to, because it is so devotional. It's, this is how we ascend, how we evolve, how we heal ourselves. Like, my business has healed me deeply, mm-hmm. even when it's triggered yes. me, even when it nearly yes. destroyed me. It has brought me to my knees. And it's like, it's just walking through one fire after another to purify the vessel, to purify mm-hmm. my consciousness, to purify my heart, so that I can de-armor and open even more, right? So all the ego, just the coming into right relationship with the ego is, there's a lot of ego deaths that are required of that.
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. You know, and so it's just, my business has truly healed me. And so it's just an honor to just be a part of this conversation. And it reminds me of what one of, you know, my yoga teacher taught me many years ago. He was like, yeah, we were discussing how yoga had become so trendy and people really didn't honor like the actual deeper teachings of the yogic tradition. And he was like, that's okay. He's like, that's the point. He said, let them come into a class to get the yoga arms and the yoga ass and the yoga abs, and they will be changed. There's no way that you can sit through a yoga class multiple times a week and not be transformed. Your consciousness will be lifted regardless of what your intention is. So I love it that these conversations are popping up all over. When it used to discourage me and it kind of spun me a little earlier in my career, now when I see it happening everywhere, even if people are misrepresenting what these very sacred topics and concepts really mean, it's okay. I've had to really let it go and just stay in my lane, stay in my power, root down into the mission more than ever before, and just do what I was born to do, bring through what I'm here to birth unapologetically.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love that. I love this conversation, and it's a conversation I could just have with you for hours, days, even, to be honest.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for this conversation because, you know, if I'm honest, there are times where this journey and this mission through business can feel quite isolating. You know, as you say, you know, some of the things that we talk about, you know, aren't necessarily, air quote, as popular as some other things. And so, you know, there are times, I would be lying if I said there aren't times where it feels challenging and it, you know, doesn't feel a little bit lonely. So having these conversations and just knowing that there are, you know, other incredible women out there that feel so deeply about this work. And I know that this has been your life's work for so long. So thank you. Thank you for being here to have this conversation with me. And I'm just, honestly, I'm so excited for the women that listen to this episode to hear you and to experience you and to feel you and everything that you've said. So thank you so much for being here. And thank you for having this conversation with me today.
This has been incredible. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be here and I can't wait. I can't wait for everything that's coming next, because it's going to be incredible.
Yeah, I trust that too so deeply. I will make sure we have everything linked up in the show notes for how people can connect in with you now and go deeper into your work as well. I want people to really experience your medicine because it is so beautiful and so potent and so, you know, divinely sourced. So I'll make sure that's all linked up as well. But thank you. Thank you. Perfect. For this conversation, and just thank you in general.
Thank you. Thank you, beautiful woman. I will talk with you soon. Have a lovely day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.